that chapter, it's got three miracles in it, doesn't it? Talks about the book, talks about the Bible, talks about the bird. Then he talks about the meal barrel. Then it talks about the boy that God made Elijah raise. Wonderful Savior, I'm going to sing a song tonight that goes right along with what Brother Bill preached. I'm glad I know a man who can. Yes. Aren't you glad for that tonight?
Yes.
I can take a heart that's broken, make it over again. But I know a man who can. I can take a soul that's sin sick, make it white as the snow. But I know a man who can. Some call him Savior, the Redeemer of all men, but I call him Jesus, for he's my dearest friend. If you feel no one can help you and your life is out of hand, well, I know a man who can. I can't walk upon these waters, overcome the troubled sea, but I know a man who can. I can take a soul that's sin sick, make it white as the snow, but I know a man who can. I can cause blind eyes to open, or make the lame to walk again, but I know a man who can. Some call him Savior, the Redeemer of all men, but I call him Jesus, for he's my dearest friend. If you feel no one can help you and your life is out of hand, well, I know a man who can. Yes, I know a man who can.
Amen.
Thank God. I know a man who can. Whenever you put this back for me, I'm having a time to bend it over. God is good, isn't he? Thank you very much. I appreciate that. She's having a home, a guitar around for me. The doctor said don't pick up anything over 10 pounds, and I believe that guitar, the case weighs more than the guitar does. And I appreciate her taking the care of that for me. Well, Brother Mahan, it's a joy to be here tonight. I've enjoyed the good message. What a preaching man Brother Bill is. Thank God for him. And you pray for us tonight, if you will, please, that God would touch us physically and also spiritually as we preach tonight. How many of you got your Bibles, your King James Bible? Would you wave it just a little bit there? Amen. I want you to stand, if you will, if you're physically able. Now, if you're not physically able, don't worry about standing. Just sit down and enjoy the blessings. But if you're able to stand, let's see. And I believe I need to cut this thing on, don't I, brother? Tasting 1, 2, 3, praise God. It is on, isn't it? Not too loud, is it? All right, if it gets too loud, just close your ears and you'll be all right. Philippians only has 4 chapters in it. And I may deal with all 4 of those chapters this week. But I want you to notice in chapter number 1, and I'll begin reading. I may read all 30 verses. They're real short verses, so it won't take long to read them. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ and Jesus, in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making requests with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident in this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. Isn't that good? For God is my record, how greatly, how long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. But I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all places. And many other brethren in the Lord waxing confident by my bonds and are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Isn't that good? Some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention and sincerity, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. But the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding every way, the Bible says, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And I therefore do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to the earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be in life or by death. He said, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. That's talking about you and I that are saved. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, yet what I shall choose I walk not. For I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. That's talking about you and I. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And we'll talk about that in a minute. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith. Thank God for joy and faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Christ Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an advent taken and perdition. It says our perdition, or token of perdition. He says, but to you of salvation and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same affliction with ye, which ye saw in me, and now here to be in me. My Father, I thank you for the word of God that is forever settled in heaven. I thank you for the privilege that we have, Lord, to stand one more time this side of glory and preach the word of God. I pray that you would touch me physically and touch me, Lord, spiritually. And I pray that you would speak to our hearts tonight. I pray, Lord, they would say something that would encourage us and strengthen us to keep on keeping on for our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You may be seated. In his name I pray. There's 30 verses in this chapter. And you'll find the number 30 means dedication. And you cannot read the 13 to 14 books that the Apostle Paul wrote, my friend, that God gave him the pen to write and told him what to say in all of these chapters in the books that he wrote in the New Testament. You'll find that Paul was dedicated to the Lord Jesus Christ. And brother, you and I that are saved by the grace of God, we need to be dedicated to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want to preach on the subject tonight, Paul's message to the people at Philippi. And you'll see, my friend, we'll talk about three things in this chapter. First of all, you'll find Paul's friends. And you'll find, first of all, that I want to show you Paul's friends. And then I want to show you how that Paul was a friend to them. You will find this in Philippians chapter 4 and in verse number 14. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. They communicated with the Apostle Paul's affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. You was the only one that really cared for me. You was the only one that really gave. You was the only one that really prayed. He said in verse number 16, and even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire a fruit that may abound to your account. And Paul said, but I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an order of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. What these dear people did for the Apostle Paul was well-pleasing in the sight of the Lord. Amen. Absolutely. God was well-pleased with what they did for him. And the Bible said in verse number 19, but my God, he was a personal God and a personal Savior to the Apostle Paul. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Every need that I have, every need that you have, every need that the widow woman had that Brother Bill preached on came through the barrel through the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And every need that I have and every need that you have comes through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so these dear people were Paul's friends. Thank God for friends. Now the Bible says a man that hath friends must show himself friendly in Proverbs 18:24. If you don't have any friends, there's one reason why you don't have any friends. You just are not friendly. Amen. But if you'll be friendly, somebody will be your friend. And I'm glad Jesus Christ is my everlasting, never dying friend. Thank God. And I have so many friends. Every man of God needs friends. Your pastor needs friends. Brother Bill needs friends. Brother Paul needs friends. Every pastor needs friends. Somebody that will stand by him and help him and pick him up when he is down and make sure that you are a friend to your man of God. I don't care if you don't have 5 members or 10 members or 50 members or 100 members or 1,000 members. Make sure that you are a friend to your pastor, and don't just tell him that you are a friend to him. Show him that you are a friend to him. And because of this, Paul loved them and they knew it. Paul was a friend to these dear people and they knew that he was a friend to them. Amen. Isn't that a blessing? Did you know that friends know when you love them? Friends know when you are sincere. Friend knows that when you talk to them and you tell them that you love them, that it's coming from the heart and it's not just words. Say amen. One reason, I guess, I've been at the Westside Baptist Church pastoring for 42 years and gone on 43 years is because God put me there, and God put me among some people that love me and love my family, and they just didn't tell me that they love me. They have shown me for over 42 years that they love me and my family, and that's the way it's supposed to be. And I love them, my friend. They have been good to me, and they pray for me, and they make sure that every need is supplied in my life. But you see, friends know when you love them. And I'll tell you, they knew that the Apostle Paul loved them. There's several reasons why they knew that Paul loved them, because he told them about Christ. I tell you, when somebody tells you about Christ, you can rest assured they're concerned about you and they love you and they want you to repent. They want you to be saved by the grace of God. Look at verse number 1 of Philippians chapter 1. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, he lets them know that they were servants of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He said to all his saints in Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus. When I got saved, I got in Christ Jesus. When you got saved, you got in Christ Jesus. It's what the Bible tells us. In the book of Galatians chapter 2 and in verse number 20, the Apostle Paul said this: I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. We don't have a dead Savior. We have a living Savior that died once on the cross of Calvary, and that one time on the cross of Calvary was sufficient for the sins of the whole world. When Jesus Christ suffered and bled and died on the cross of Calvary, was buried and resurrected again the third day for our justification. And I'm glad now any old hell-bound, hell-deserving sinner can come to Jesus and get saved by the grace of God and have everlasting life. You will never ever die, thank God, spiritually, because you are in Christ Jesus and he is in you. Amen. He said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I have probably said this before. I want to say it again. Somebody said, explain what it means for Christ to be in you. And here is what one man described what it means for Christ to be in you. If you put the poker in the fire gets in the poker. Amen. And if you put the sponge in the water gets in the sponge. And if you put the body in the air gets in the body. And you put a sinner in Christ, and Christ gets in the sinner. Praise God, I'm glad I'm in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Isn't that a blessing to know that? Oh, yes, it is. He talked to them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Bill, no one ever showed me how to be saved until I was 23 years old. They took the word of God, showed me what it meant to be saved by the grace of God. Not long after that, I repented of my sin, got saved by the grace of God over 47 years ago, and I have not been lost one second. And if you're saved, you have not been lost one second. You'll never be lost again for all eternity. Hallelujah. Woo, ain't that a blessing from God? But every year, the man that gave me that gospel tract, it was two different people that told me, matter of fact, it was three people that witnessed to me about the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have not failed to send them a Christmas card every year and thank them
were telling me about Jesus and how to be saved, and that God loved me and God would forgive me and God would wash all my sins away and forget about my sins, praise God, and I am saved and ready to go to heaven, say amen. Brother Mays Jackson used to say, if you're saved, you're heaven bound with a hammer down, amen. Paul was their friend, and they knew that he was their friend because he talked to them about Christ Jesus. Number two, he was thankful for them. He said, I want to thank God for you. We had a testimony service yesterday morning. And boy, it lifted me up. I'll tell you, there was people that stood up and they was thanking God that they were saved. They were thanking God for their church. They were thanking God for the pastor. They put Christ first in their testimony and thanking God for me and my wife, my children, my grandchildren. I'll tell you, that'll do something for any individual. Whether it's a preacher or not, when people thank God for you, how's in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 18. Thank God for people that think about us. Paul said this in verse number 2. Well, he said in verse number 3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. He remembered them. He remembered to pray for them. To God be the glory. For years and years and years, there has not been many days I could not count them on my hand, even in the time of sickness, in the time of sorrow, that I have not taken time to call every church member by their name and ask God to bless them, ask God to bless their families, ask God to help them and guide them. I know that they are praying for me, and God knows we need to pray one for another. Amen. Thank God somebody is praying for me. I've got folk right now in our church that's praying for this meeting. I requested prayer for this meeting. I have been there for several weeks. And in the prayer room, asking folk to pray that God would give us a good meeting. I said, Lord, it doesn't make any difference how many people is there. Would you please help us and encourage us and give us, thank God, some encouragement and some strength and renewal in this revival, amen, right here in Ringo, Virginia. Say amen. God is still on the phone, isn't he? So Paul was thankful for them. And so they knew that he was their friend because he told them about Jesus Christ. And then he was thankful for them in verse number 3. Isn't that a blessing from God? And then he talked to them about the grace of God in verse number 2. He said, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that a blessing? He talked about the grace of God. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 and verse 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I'm glad there's saving grace for every old sinner that will come to Jesus Christ. I'm glad there's living grace for every child of God. There is living grace. It makes no difference what the trials might be, what the tears might be, what the tribulations might be. There's grace for you and I that are saved by the grace of God. And then, Brother Donald, when we come down to the end of life's journey, as the Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this judgment, when we come down to the end of life's journey and we take our last breath down here, we'll say good night down here and heaven over yonder, praise God, where we'll never go there. There'll never be any sorrow. There'll never be any sin. There'll never be any separation. There'll never be any devil. Say amen. Amen. There'll never be any darkness. Aren't you glad that you're saved and ready to meet God? Woo! Hallelujah. That's a blessing from the Lord. Oh yeah, he talked to them about being in Christ. He talked to them about the grace of God. He talked to them about being thankful for them. And he talked to them about a prayer in verse number four. He said, always and ever prayer of mine for you all in making requests with joy. Peter said, it's joy unspeakable and full of glory being saved. And the psalmist said, wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? In Psalm 85 and verse number 6, I'm going to tell you something. I don't care how young you are, and I don't care how old you are. When old time revival comes, you will have the joy of the Lord bubbling over in your soul. And my friend, you can sing with the songwriter, the song that was written, my cup runneth over. Say amen. Amen. My cup runneth over. I'm drinking from a saucer. Now there's got to be a reason why you drink from your saucer, because your cup runneth over. Hallelujah. We need a cup this week to run over. Thank about the goodness and the glory of God, what he's done, what he's doing, and what he's promised he would do. Amen. What a Savior we serve. Then he talks to them about their fellowship in verse number 5. For your fellowship in the gospel, he says, from the first day until now. Thank God for good fellowship. Paul fellowshiped with these dear people. You know, we can't fellowship with the world after we've been saved by the grace of God. The Bible tells us over in the book of Ephesians chapter number 5 and in verse number 11, verse 11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. And the Bible tells us over, these are very familiar verses of Scripture, in the 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. The Bible says, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? An infidel means an unbeliever. And the Bible says, in what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? He says, for ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said. As he said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be your shepherd, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Hallelujah. Isn't that a blessing from God, ladies and gentlemen? I used to playing and singing a bluegrass band years ago before I ever got saved. Amen. Called the Stony Mountain Boys. Boy, were we ever stony. Are you listening? We played in bluegrass, what are them called? Bluegrass festivals? What did you call them things? Fiddler's Conventions, that's right. Fiddler's Conventions. Been long since I played in one. Can't even remember what it was. So after I got saved, we went down to the auditorium, to the school that had a gymnasium in it, where I went to that school from through the sixth grade, and then Daddy moved, went to another one. But that gymnasium and that auditorium and the stage there, they had a Fenner's convention, and that's after I quit and got out of the band. And I stayed there for about an hour, and I told my wife, I said, are you ready to go? She said, I didn't want to come to start with. I'm going to tell you, Brother Bill, I just didn't feel comfortable. Most of these fiddlers conventions, there's too much fiddling going on. Amen. And I'm not talking about the strings either. I love good stringed instruments, and I love good gospel music, southern gospel music. I don't like contemporary stuff. I'd rather hear one big run of rabbit, praise God, out of the bushes than to hear that so-called music and its contemporary stuff. That don't do one thing for me, and if you'd be honest, it don't do one thing for you. When I got saved, God gave me the right kind of music, and I still love good bluegrass gospel music. Say amen right there. You can't fellowship, love not the world, neither the things in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of flesh, and lust of eyes, and pride of life, is out of the Father, was of the world. And the world passed away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. In 1 John 2:15-16. I'm enjoying this fellowship. I enjoyed fellowship with my folk back to the house of God yesterday. I'm enjoying the fellowship here tonight. Say amen. Isn't that a blessing from God? I've enjoyed the preaching. I've enjoyed the singing. Y'all just get better all the time. Say amen. Ain't God good? Aren't you glad that God changed you? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. 2 Corinthians 5, verse number 17. Thank God for that. So thank God for their good fellowship. You know, Paul said, you would have done more for me had you lacked the opportunity to do so. And then he gives them blessed assurance. I like that song. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation. And on it goes. Aren't you glad? Praise God for that good song. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. We stopped and had to pick up a few church items and over at this Sam's Club on the way up here and got the back of the truck, back seat filled full. And I was talking to this man. I was sitting down. I'd walked till my leg was hurting, so I sat down, and this man was over there talking, and he was a Episcopalian, is that how you pronounce that correct? And asked him if he's saved. Oh, he said, I'm being saved every day. Oh, and I said, in other words, one of these days you're going to get to where you can say I'm saved, huh? I'm telling you, that's got some crazy doctrine, say amen. But I said, you know something, friend? I said, you don't have to say, I hope so, maybe so, guess so, think so, feel so. I said, the Bible said in Romans 10:14-13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And he said, yeah, eventually. I said, eventually nothing. I said, friend, when you get saved by the grace of God, the very instant that you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are saved, you're sealed until the day of redemption, and you'll never, ever be lost again. Kind of scratched his head a little bit on that, would say amen. Ain't God good? He said in verse number 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Thank God he gave them the blessed assurance. Amen. Aren't you glad you have the blessed assurance? In 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 13, a man was looking for 1 John chapter number 6 one day when I told him that he could know that he was saved. And I said, sir, if you find 1 John chapter 6, I said, I want to read it. I've never read it before. Did y'all get that? Because it ain't but 5 chapters in 1 John. Amen. Amen. And the Bible said in 1 John 5:13, these things have I spoken or written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Aren't you glad? Listen, if you're saved by the grace of God, talked to a man the other day, and he said, well, I'm saved, but I'm not perfect. I said, well, if you find one that is other than Jesus Christ, let me know who it is, and I'd like to talk to him. Say amen. Need to read 1 John chapter number 1, verse number 8, 9, and 10. In that chapter. But I'll tell you one thing, we're to strive to be more like Jesus. Brother Bill quoted those two verses, Romans 12:1-2, for him, and while he was preaching tonight. God wants us, as we grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to be more like him. But sometimes we just don't do that. But I'm so glad that we're saved, and I'm so glad we got a Savior that will forgive us, that will cleanse us, thank God, and wash us, hallelujah, amen, to get us more like him every day of our life. Thank God for that blessed assurance. Then he said something else. He said to these friends, he said in verse number 7, look at it. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart. He said, I've got you in my heart. How many folk do we have in our heart? Do we only have our wife or our companion? Do we only have our children? Do we only have our grandchildren? Do we only have our kinfolk? Or do we have some people that are literally in our heart that we pray for every day. We remember them in prayer. Not only do we pray for our church people that love us and look after us, but oh, how many people outside of our church do we really pray for? They're really in our hearts. We're really concerned about them. We really have a burden for them and for their families, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, they need to be in our heart. Paul said, you're in my heart. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, insomuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. The man that prayed for me, we worked together at Arch Aluminum in Winston-Salem. The Saturday, he and I had to work overtime, and we met at a service station there in Pilot Mountain, and I rode to work with him that Saturday. We had to work we had to work until dinner time that Saturday, and he'd witnessed to me before, and before I got out of the car, I said, Paul, wait a minute, don't talk to you again. I thought, Lord, he's going to tell me about the Lord again. And sure enough, he did. And I tell you, tears are running down his face. And he said, I don't want to see you die and go to hell. He said, I want to see you repent and call on Jesus and ask him to save you. I believe that was the Sunday that I said, I'm going to church tomorrow. I think we'd been a few times in that church. I said, I'm going there tomorrow. I'm going to that church tomorrow. And I told my wife, I said, we're going to church again tomorrow. She said, you're kidding. I said, no, I'm not kidding. We're going to church. And I'll tell you, I got marvelously saved that Sunday morning, June the 28th, 1970. Well, it was four of us that was riding to church. It was really five that Monday was riding, to church to our workplace. And so I walked up to the car, and I got in. I said, guess what happened to me yesterday? And Wayne said, you got saved. I said, who told you? He said, nobody told me. And he started crying. I said, how did you know? He said, there was a difference in your smile. Your countenance was different. Praise God, we had old time revival. I didn't know what old time revival was going down that route about 40 minutes to the workplace. Ain't God good? Amen. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. Now I got news for you. No one ever cared for you like Jesus. You are special. Amen, Brother Bill hit the nail on the head. You are special because you're saved and you're God's children, just like our children are special. Our grandchildren are special. You are special, and don't ever forget it. Shout the victory. Praise God when they come, when they don't come. Right. Now sometimes that's hard to do. Say amen. But God is good, isn't he? You better believe he's good. Paul said, I've got you in my heart. Then he said, I long to see you. In verse number 8. For God is my record. How greatly I long after you in all my bowels, of all the bowels of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Boy, isn't that a blessing? How many of you got a loved one up in heaven? Raise your hand. Have you ever just longed to see them? Have you said, boy, what a day that's going to be when I see Jesus. And then what a day that's going to be when we see Mama and Daddy that died in the Lord. Amen. Praise God. I was holding my mother's hand when she passed away. She wasn't taking no pain medicine. She was lying in the bed there at my sister's home when I was holding her hand. She took that last breath. Here's the way she met God. That's it. That was it. My daddy died in the hospital in Forsyth County. I went to see him. He's probably about a day or two before that he died, and I'd talked to daddy and talked to him. He'd been to church several times, but he never had made a profession of faith that I know of, and he said he hadn't. But he couldn't hardly talk above a whisper when he was 84 years old. And he died in the hospital. Before he died, I said, Dad, I want to ask you something again. Have you asked God to save you? He said, yes, I've asked God to save me. I said, have you asked God to forgive you of your sins and come into your heart and save you? He said, yes, I've asked God to forgive me and come into my heart and save my soul.
I said, did you mean it? I shouldn't have said that. You know he meant it, praise God. He meant that thing. Boy, I was so thrilled. I just walked out of the room. I walked down that hall, sat down there and cried like a baby for about 10 or 15 minutes, thanking God that Daddy was safe. I longed to see him, brother. Amen. I longed to see him. I come from a large family. I've got, it's 14, my family, 14 children, 12 boys and 2 girls. Amen. And seven of them are in heaven, and the other 7 is on the way. I'm doubting one because he says he's saved, but he has no fruit of him. We pray for him every day. You just remember Billy. You right there's a Billy. That's a brother Billy, right? Your name is Billy, not Willie, but Billy. Amen. You remember Billy, my brother, and pray that God will speak to his heart. If he is saved, he'll get right with God. If he's not saved, he'll get saved. Put that on your prayer list, and I'd appreciate it. A lot of folk in heaven I long to see, don't you? Sure do. Say amen. Oh, they were Paul's friend. Then we find not only his friends, I mean, Paul let them know that he was the friend, but we find the Apostle Paul's faithfulness, and I'll not go through any more verse by verse, just a few of them. But in chapter number 1 and verse number 12, but I would you should understand, brethren, that the furtherance that the things which happened unto me shall fall out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. Amen. So that my bonds in Christ are manifested in all the palace and in all the places. He said, I just want Christ. I just want Christ, praise God, to be preached. I want Christ to be exalted. And Paul used the name Christ 18 times in these 30 chapters. And the number 18 means bondage. And Paul knew, my friend, that the people that were lost, undone without God was in the bondage of sin, in the bondage of Satan, in the bondage of self. And he said, I want to tell you that Christ is the one that can get you out of the bondage of sin and set you free. Hallelujah. I've been set free, thank God. And you've been set free. And that means victory, praise God. The Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of God of the Lord is, there is liberty. In 2 Corinthians 3 and verse number 17. Oh, if the Son make you free, you shall be free indeed. John chapter 8, verse 32 and 36. Boy, aren't you glad you've been set free? Paul said, I want to thank God. And Paul was faithful. He said, I want to thank God for your faithfulness. And I am being faithful to the things of God. Makes no difference what comes my way, whether it's persecutions or whatever it is. I'm going to be faithful to the things of God. Look, if you will, please. He said that the things which hath happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. He says, and he said in verse 13, so that my bonds in Christ are manifested in all palace and in all other places. Watch this now. That many other brethren in the Lord waxing confident by my bonds are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Hallelujah. Paul said, you've watched my life, you've watched the persecutions, you've watched the sufferings, you've seen the tears, you've seen the sorrows, and he said, you've seen the bond that I was in, but he said, I spoke with boldness, and now you're doing the same thing. I never will for you. Look at verse number 20. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing shall I be ashamed. But that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be manifested in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Hallelujah. I surrendered to preach the word of God at Archer Aluminum. Brother Mays Jackson came by our church and preached a revival meeting Tuesday night through Saturday night and then Sunday morning and Sunday afternoon. And he preached on that. God was dealing with me to preach the word of God. Boy, God spoke to my heart that Sunday, and I didn't surrender to preach the word of God.
But my little old machine that I run there at that place where I worked at had a little alley. It's about as far as wide as this office. I've been in this office before. And so I went back, the spider webs were swinging everywhere over the ceiling up there, and I got on my knees that morning, and I surrendered to preach the Word of God over 43 years ago. Brother Bill, you ever know Shorty Moser? Little midget, you ever know Shorty Moser? He was a little midget. He stood about this high. I mean a fireball preacher. He had a small wife as well. She was about 6 feet tall and weighed about 250 pounds. They looked like Mutt and Jeff. Say amen. But I stopped by, first of all, on the way home before I even told my wife. She was at home and with the kids. And I stopped by Shorty's house and told him what I'd done. He said, "Brother Wall, I'll pray with you." And son, he come up behind me, laid his hand on me, and I was on my knees, and he just standing up and laid his hand on me. God, if he'd got on his knees, he had to reach up to get me up on my knees. And he prayed that God would give me boldness to preach. He prayed that God would give me the grace of God to stand. And I knew, Brother Bill, it was coming from his heart. I knew he meant what he was praying. He's in heaven now, and his precious wife Sally is up there. And I want to tell you, I long to see them. I think he's praying for me in heaven. I really do. He was a bold preacher. He would stand and preach a word of God. Once in a while, if there's a big crowd, a whole crowd, and if you're sitting on this side, and he come out the aisle. Me and my wife listened to a midget preach one night, and we heard him preach, and he was in the church. I said, "Where'd he go?" She said, "He's over in that aisle walking down the aisle preaching." Are you listening to me? Boy, he was a little short, but he could sure preach the word of God. Say amen. Amen. Paul was faithful, brother. He was a prisoner, not of Rome, but of the Lord Jesus Christ, and his chains, my friend, were in Christ Jesus. Verse number 13. I read it to you. Let me read to you again. "So that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places." Boy, not a blessing from God. You know what we need to do in this day of liberalism? In this day of compromise, in this day when everything goes, come as you are. Amen. If you come as you are, most of them you'll leave as you were when you came in. You can come as you are if you're lost, undone, without God, and you get saved by the grace of God. You come in as you are. If you get saved by the grace of God, you'll leave a new creature. Say amen. Amen. I don't fuss at people to come to church as they are if I know they're lost and undone without God, my friend. But what bothers me is this crowd that said they love God and they come to the world as they are, and some of them even have on the short shorts on. You know what I'm talking about? Wicked, worldly, ungodly. Amen. You know what I tell my people? I've been telling my people this for 42 years. If you're not afraid to do it, praise God. I'm not afraid to preach against it. Say amen. Oh, that was a light. Amen. That wasn't too much. That's okay. Hallelujah. You know something? Paul wrote Romans 8:28, and I'm just about through. I'm not going to get through with it all, brother. I'll keep it too late. But the Bible says in Romans 8 and verse number 28, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose, for whom he did predestinate, for whom he did foreknow. He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of the Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." Now, foreknowledge and predestination does not have one thing to do with a lost person. That has something to do with you and I that are saved by the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I don't believe this old false doctrine that says if you go to heaven, it will be because you was predestinated to go to hell. I mean, you're predestinated to go to heaven before the foundation of the world, or you was either predestinated to go to hell before the foundation of the world. I don't believe a word of that. I don't believe a word of that. I mean, the Bible tells me in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 9, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Hallelujah. I'm glad I repented. Luke 13, verse number 3, Jesus said, "I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." He went down and said in Luke 13, verse number 5, "I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." May I give you a little verse of scripture you like pretty good? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. If you're saved by the grace of God, you don't have to worry about perishing. Amen. Condemnation has been lifted off of you. If you've been saved by the grace of God, you're heaven bound. Don't shed it one time. Heaven bound with a hammer down. Amen. And the last breath you take down here, thank God, you'll wake up in heaven shouting the victory and praising God that you're home. Say amen. Woo! Amen. That thrills me, brother. Thank God. Paul not only wrote that, he knew that it worked. Amen. He not only wrote that verse of scripture in Romans 8:28, but he lived it, praise God. And Paul said, I want you to understand that. And then we find Paul's future in verse number 19 down through verse number 21. His future looked good. Whether he lost the trial or whether he won the trial, his future looked good. May I tell you tonight that if you're saved, your future looks good. Say amen. Look at verse number 21 and 22 and 23. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Isn't that good? But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, yet what I shall choose, I walk not, for I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Amen. He said, when a son of God dies, it's to gain. And when a son of God dies, it's far better to die and to go to heaven to be with Jesus than it is to be down here. But, he said in verse number 24, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Isn't that a blessing from God? So you find Paul's friends, you find Paul is a friend, then you find Paul's faithfulness, and they were faithful because Paul was faithful and Christ was faithful, and then you'll find Paul's future. Oh, what a difference since Jesus passed by. Since Jesus passed by. Since Jesus passed by. Well, what a difference since Jesus passed by. Well, I can't explain it and I can't tell you why. But oh, what a difference since Jesus passed by. I'm glad, praise God, there'll be a difference when Jesus passes by. Aren't you glad you're saved? You know what God wants us to do? He wants us to realize that he still needs us. God needs every one of us. I don't care who you are, how old you are, how feeble you are. God needs you. And God needs every one of us. Say amen, preacher. Amen. God needs you. I mean, I know you're walking with a cane. Where is it? You got it laying over there? Let me sit. Let me sit just a minute, if you will, please. I walked with a walker in the last 9 months. I walked with a walker for 3 months. Couldn't even, there was a time, Brother Donald, I couldn't even get out of the recliner without putting a walker in front of me and locking it down and then pulling myself up with it. That's how bad the pain was. Well, Renata said one time, she said, you know that old walker is so heavy. Well, it wasn't that heavy. It's just awkward to get around, you know. She said, maybe I need to get you a three-legged cane. I said, no. I said, you get a cane. And I said, that's going to make me look older than it was walking with a walker. But just go ahead and use your cane. And every once in a while, the devil might come and get on your shoulders. You just take the word of God and this. Get off my shoulder. Get off. Just knock him off. Just knock him off your shoulder. Brother Milford Biddle. You know Brother Milford. He's probably preached for you several times, hadn't he or not? Brother, did he preach for you? He said, I bought a car one time. He said, I was making payments on that thing. He said, it seemed like every time I got in it, the devil would get in the other side of it. And he says, just kept on. He says, kept on. He said, one day he's going down the road. Devil got in the car with him. He just pulled over the side of the road and went over to the other side of the car, the passenger side of the car, and opened up the door and said, get out of my car, devil. If you think I'm going to buy a new car and make monthly payments on it and ride you around in your car, get out of my car. Woo! Say amen. What happened? He would say, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so rich and free. You're going to stand for God. I tell you what I want you to do for me tonight, every one of you in here. This new member down at Highland Baptist Church. I want every one of you, Brother Bill, and everyone to pray for me. I'll stand, praise God, like I ought to stand. Let's stand to our feet. Sister, come on, give us an invitation. God is so good. Ain't God good to us? Wonderful Savior. Having it tonight would say, preacher, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I am saved. Would you raise your hand right now? Wave it just a little bit. That looks like everybody in here. How many would say, preacher, I'm in a church tonight. And preacher, by the good grace of God, I'm going to keep standing for my wonderful Lord and Savior. And the only way we can do this is by the grace of God. I say, preacher, I'm going to keep standing for my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Why don't you just get on this altar tonight and say, dear Lord, help me to stand as the Apostle Paul stand without apology. Why don't you come on right now? Use this altar. I tell you, this altar up here was not made for nobody to use. This altar was made, if you're physically able now, you come on up here if you will. Oh yes. You may be like me, you may not be able physically to stand, but you can come up and sit down on that altar. That's right. You just make up your mind, Brother Billy. God bless you. You don't even have to kneel down. You probably wouldn't be able to, but you want to sit down on the front pew or something just to show the devil that you mean business and you're going to stand for God, Brother James. Ain't that a blessing from God? Anybody else want to come? Maybe you got a loved one lost without God, headed toward hell. They need God. Why don't you come and pray for them? Dear Lord, thank you for the day. Thank you for the blessings. I know this is a day which the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it because we're saved. Lord, thank you again for the message by Brother Bill, Meal in the Barrel. And what a blessing it was, a help and encouragement. You're a miracle working God. And Lord, we thank you for that. Thank you for the miracle. The greatest miracle that's ever been performed is when an old sinner gets saved by the grace of God. Now I pray, Lord, that you would bless Brother Donald and the church people here. And I pray, Lord, you would send folk in. I pray they would be busy. I know they are inviting people and calling people and telling them about the meeting. Some, no doubt, that there was invited didn't come. They could be here tomorrow night. If not, Lord, we'll have a good time by the grace of God. And I pray that you'd bless this church now and have your way in it, supply the need abundantly. Then protect us all as we travel home tonight. My wife and I, we have a little over an hour to drive. Pray you'd keep us safe. Pray for Brother Bill and his church member there, God, that you would protect them and keep them safe as they travel up and down the road. And continue, God, to bless his wife and he and the children. And then, Lord, I pray for his mother-in-law that you would touch her and heal her body, if it be your blessed will. I know she's getting up in age, 81 years old. And I pray, Lord, if it be your blessed will, that you'd touch her. And, Lord, I pray you'd give her many more years. We have a lady in our church. She's 94 years old in June. And her mind is still sharp as it can be. She's not able to get out much, but she loves God. And I pray now, Lord, that you'd touch her and heal her body tonight and answer every request, God, that's been made mention unto you on the altar. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen and amen. And all God's people said,
amen.
Say it louder.
Amen.
Amen. That's good. Thank you. God bless you. I'll see you tomorrow night, the Lord willing. Come on up here, Brother James and Brother Don and Brother.
Before we go,
yeah.
I want to say something.
Say something, brother. Help yourself.
I know it's getting late, but that's all right.